And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, "Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples, and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told him that that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked, and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither they believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed him not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you for your guidance and your blessing this morning as we preach your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Our text this morning may seem a little odd, being the second Sunday of Advent, dealing with the resurrection of our Savior. But it is the culmination of the book of Mark, but not only is it the culmination of the book of Mark, it is the understanding of what the Advent was all about. One of the prominent features of our Lord's time upon the earth was the presence of angels. We see the first appearance of angels in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, where the cherubims are set at the gate of the Garden of Eden, and they are restricting access to the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, and that Adam and Eve couldn't go into the Garden of Eden. Now, some of you may object and say, well, that was cherubims that were set there, and cherubims are not necessarily classified as angels, but there is a great debate of that. I would say that they are a segment of the angelic world, of the creatures that God has created. The concentration of description of angelic activity is associated with the advent of our Lord. Angels were basically messengers that were given by God to men. Consider with me, if you will, this morning, the angelic messengers that came and were associated with the advent or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that angels addressed Zacharias. Angels addressed Mary. Angels addressed Joseph concerning the events having to deal with Jesus' birth. We had Zacharias being told of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You had the messenger to Mary, who said that, "Mary, you're with child." And she said, "How can this thing be? No, seeing that I know not a man." She knew the biology of it, and she couldn't understand how that could be. And the angel explained it to her. Joseph was told, "Mary hasn't been unfaithful to you, but the thing that is within her womb is that of the Most High God." And then we heard this morning, as the children were listening, that Jesus, when he came into this earth, was attended by the angel who then came with the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Now, most of us are aware of those angels that were there proclaiming that message to the shepherd, that were there at the birth of Christ. But many of us don't remember that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, that after the temptations that Jesus endured in the wilderness, that an angel came and ministered to the Lord Jesus there in the wilderness. And many of us may not remember that in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, that after the temptation that Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane, you might say, what temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, remember Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And so, and after that, he says, let not my will but thine be done. And we see that afterwards, that there was an angel that came and ministered to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then just a few days later, we see that an angel comes, and we see here in Mark chapter 16, verse 5, our text for today, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, and in other Gospels, that is identified as an angel, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, that is the angel, don't be afraid, or fear not. Ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Go your way, tell his disciples. When Jesus rose from the dead, if you looked over in Matthew 28, we see that the angel moved the stone. Now, I want to tell you this morning that the angel didn't move the stone in order to let Jesus out. He moved the stone to let the people in. Jesus was already gone. Jesus didn't need any help. Jesus rose by the power of God, and he was risen from the dead. But the angel moved the stone in order to show the disciples and the women that indeed he was risen, that he was gone. And an angel announced to the women, as he does here in Mark, that Jesus was risen. And then we see that two angels in the book of John were sitting on the stone that had been moved and spoke to Mary Magdalene. But that wasn't where it ended. The appearance of angels in the life of Christ didn't stop there at the resurrection. If you remember that 40 days later, that Jesus ascended up into heaven. And Acts chapter 1, verse 10 tells us about that. And it tells us that there were two angels that were there in attendance when Jesus rose into heaven and said to the disciples, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus, which went into heaven, will come again in power and great glory. And so the angels were there. But I've got news for you as well, that the angel's ministry does not stop then. It says that when Jesus returns to this earth again, he shall be attended and worshipped by angels. If you go back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, it tells us this. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And so the angels are going to be with Christ when he comes. And we could look at 2 Thessalonians 1:7 that says that the angels will come with him. And then lastly, I want to mention to you that it doesn't stop even at his coming. If you go to the book of Revelation, it's all filled with angels and angels and angels. I think there's more talk about angels in the book of Revelation than any other place in the Bible. And it talks about the angels being with God in heaven. But this morning, I'm not interested so much in the appearances of angels, but rather the message of the angels. And so I want to look at the message of the angel at his resurrection. If you look at our text this morning, chapter 16, starting at verse 6. And I want you to see that. First of all, we see that he says, fear not. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, or fear not, fear not. I want to just point out to you This is a message of peace. This is a message of peace. They are troubled in their minds. They are upset. They don't know what this is all about. And the angel first gives them a message of peace. And then secondly, he gives them a message of power. He is risen. He is risen. A message of power. Let me tell you something, folks. There's no greater power in the world today than the power that can restore life, that can bring back to life. And that is a power that is ours, that God has given to us, that one day we will understand and utilize. And so we have a message of peace. We have a message of power. But we also have a message of potential. Let's go, and you say, and I understand I'm stretching there to get all these P's in, but it's a message of potential. And it is not only that he is risen, but he's not here. If Jesus was not here, he was somewhere else. And what was he doing somewhere else? Well, the Bible tells us, and I want to give you five of them quickly because I want to get to the rest of our message this morning. He acts as our intercessor. He acts as our intercessor. He's interceding on our behalf. Secondly, he's watching over us. And not only is he watching over us, but he is feeling our pain. You know, there is a fascination in our world today with angels. People are more interested, I think, in angels than they are in God and in Christ. But there's this fascination in angels. And folks, I believe that angels are a reality. I believe that angels are present here today. I believe that they are probably even in attendance of our worship service, watching and listening and hearing what's going on. But these angelic beings are merely messengers of God. It is God Himself who is watching us over us. You know, if somebody tells me that you know, and I've had people tell me such things, you know, your mother's watching over you. Well, you know, for those that don't remember, no, my mom's dead. Okay, and they'll say, your mother's watching over, and that's nice. Maybe that's a sentimental thought. And some people say, well, you know, your angel is watching over you. And, okay, that's nice. But when I'm told that God is watching over me, we've all of a sudden gone to a whole new ballpark. We've gone to a whole new stratosphere. Because, you see, my mom is but a human and a dead one at that. An angel is a living being, but still a created being. But God Almighty, the one who rose from the dead, is ever living and ever interceding and ever watching over us. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He acts as our advocate. He tells us in 1 John 2:2 that we have an advocate with Jesus. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's busy preparing a place for you. I go away, and if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. And then he's waiting for the time for the Father to send him back after us. And so we see that we have a message of peace, fear not. We have a message of power. He is risen. We have a message of potential. He is not here. But we also have a message of preparation. Notice there in verse 6, it says, behold the place. Ponder the place. Look at the place. Consider the place. This is a message of preparation. You know, when I prepare a message, when I prepare to do something, I think of what I'm going to do. I'm going to think about what it's all about. And here is the place of preparation. Behold the place. He was there. He was dead. He laid there for 3 days. It's a place of preparation when we contemplate and meditate upon there. But not only a message of preparation, it's a message of promise. Look at what it says there. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him as he is not here as he said. Well, the as he said is in another gospel. And so we have that message of promise, as he said. And we also have a message of promise when it says, go. He shall go before you into Galilee. A message of promise. He's going before you into Galilee. And then we have the message of purpose. Go your way. Tell his disciples. Tell his disciples. A message of purpose. Folks, can I tell you this morning, you have a purpose in life. What is your purpose in life? Your purpose in life is the same purpose that God gave to these women here, to go and tell of the resurrected Savior. I'd like for you to turn, and I always want to go back in my Bible as I was studying this, because his birth is before his resurrection. But I want you to turn two pages over in your Bible, because that's Luke chapter 2. And I'd like you to go to verse 10. And this really parallels what the children heard this morning. I trust you heard. Let's look at what the message angel was at his birth. And the angel said unto him, this is Luke 2, verse 10, fear not. Do you hear anything similar? It's the same thing that the message that the angel gave at the tomb. Fear not, be not afraid. So we have a message of peace at his birth. Notice what it also says. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. There's the message of promise. Good tidings. That word good tidings is the same word as the word gospel. It's the word, I bring unto you the gospel. I bring unto you good news. It's a message of promise. And then a message of potential. And what is the message of potential? I bring you good tidings of mega joy. The word great there is the word mega. Mega. I bring you mega joy. And that's the message of promise that we will have that great joy. I want to ask you this morning, do you have great joy? That was the promise. That was what God said that he would give to him. And that's what the angel declared to those shepherds. Let me tell you something. You know, David said earlier this morning he was thankful for the Lord's day because of the time of rest. You know, what do you think about those shepherds? Those shepherds needed a message of great joy. It was laborious. It was 7 days a week. It was despising work. And God chose to bring to those lowly shepherds that message of mega joy that would be declared to all peoples. And so the shepherds were given at the birth of Christ by the angels a message of peace, a message of promise, a message of potential, but also a message of preparation. And he says that this message of great joy would be to all people. Folks, we've heard this so much, it's not revolutionary to us. But to those shepherds, it was a revolutionary thing. Because in one sense, it was to all people, even the lowly shepherds. But in another sense, it was to all people, not only the Jews. Can I put it to you today where it might relate to us? It's not just to us Americans. It's to Mexicans, and it's to Africans, and it's to Asians, and it's to Europeans. This is a great message of great joy to all people, but it is also a message of power. A Savior is born. A Savior is born. Folks, you and I need a Savior. Everyone living in this world needs a Savior. A Savior that would break the bondage of sin. This morning in Sunday school, we were studying Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses was the picture of that Savior leading them out of the house of bondage, out of the house of Egypt. But we have an even greater Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has led us out from the prison house of sin. But not only was it a message of power, it was a message of purpose. And the scriptures, if you go on there in Luke chapter 2, it says there that ye shall find, verse 12, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. The expectation was that the shepherds were going to go looking. Now, it's not given, they weren't given, now go find the baby. The expectation, you're going to find it, you're going to look for it, and this is the way you find it. It's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. How did they know where to go? They didn't have the star to lead them. Well, first of all, it's in Bethlehem. Second of all, it's in a place where there's a manger. Where's a manger? It's in a barn. Where's a barn connected? Where's something where people stay? And so here they lead the clues. I heard that some of the young people went to this thing over in Orlando where they had clues to try to get out of a room. The angel gave the clues to the shepherds, and they were wise enough, smart enough to put those together and find the baby Jesus. And so just like the women had from the angel at the tomb, a message of peace, a message of promise, a message of potential, a message of preparation, a message of power, and a message of purpose. So did the angel give those messages, those same messages, to the shepherds. Today we don't have angels giving us messages from God. We have the Word of God, and it is final. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, an angel came to me and brought me a message? Let me tell you something. I get real nervous. You know why I get real nervous? Because you know what? There are evil angels, just like there are godly angels. If you want to know the message of God, seek it from the Word of God. We have the Word of God, and it is final, and that's all we need. It may not be all we want. There's many times that we say, oh, drop the message down, but it's all we need. But I think that we find that the message of the Word is the same as the message that the angels gave at Jesus' birth and at Jesus' resurrection. Let's go through them quickly. The message of peace, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You talk about a message of peace. You talk about removing fear. Those that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. We have the message of promise. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. A message of promise. We also have a message of potential. John 14, verse 21, and I just wrote out part of the verse, but I think it's important to get all of it. So let me read it to you. John 14, verse 21. And it says that here, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, now listen, shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. A message of potential. The potentiality of God's love for those that keep His commandments, those that seek Him. It says that we'll be loved of God, we'll be loved of the Father, we'll be loved of the Son, and that He will give, manifest Himself to us. But not only a message of the potential of God's love to us, a message of the potential of God's joy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. John writes this, and these things write I unto you, that your joy might be full. A message of the potential of God's joy. And then a message of the potential of God's peace. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the message of the potential of God's joy, love, joy, and peace. But not only is it a message of potential, it's a message of preparation. 2 Timothy 2:15, and we could use others. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Word. Study our Savior, His birth, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His return. Remember, the angel said, look at the place. Look at the place. Study the place. Let it impact you. As we study our Savior and His life, let it impact you. But we also have a message of power. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall receive be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and into the uttermost parts of the earth. We could also look at 2 Thessalonians 1:7. We looked at that this morning in Sunday school. But in 2 Thessalonians 1:7 it says here, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. A message of power. Our Lord Jesus with His mighty angels is going to set everything right. Philippians 2:11 says, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And so it's a message of power. And then lastly, a message of purpose. Let's go back to where we began in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. A message that perhaps if it's not marked in your Bible, you might want to mark it. It's right along there with Matthew chapter 28, 19, 20, and 21. This is the simplistic form of it. Mark 16, 15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. A message to all people. Remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it was tidings of great joy to all people. We have a responsibility. Hear the angel message this morning. It was a message from God. Hear the message of the Word of God, a message of peace. A message of promise, a message of potential, a message of preparation, a message of power, and a message of purpose. What a message we have received. What a message we have to give. Brothers and sisters, as we come to this Advent season, may we not just rejoice in what God has done and given to us, but may we share that message. May we go have purpose in our lives to tell others. Can I conclude with a challenge? Something concrete? That you would find somebody this week. Make it a purpose. Maybe it'll be a phone call. Maybe it'll be a letter. Maybe it'll be a tract in your pocket. We've got the candy cane tracts floating around here. That you would purposely tell someone of the message that Jesus Christ is a Savior from sin. I don't know, the board says we have 78 people here. Can you imagine? And I imagine that counts babies and all. Let's just put it to 70. No, let's put it down to 50 because some of you aren't going to do it. But can you imagine if 50 people would tell 50 other people about Jesus this week? We've got a message from the angels. No, we've got a better message. We've got a message from God. Go and tell. Let us pray. Father, I pray that we would not just sit in our air-conditioned padded pew, but Father, that you would motivate us, that you would energize us, that you would excite us to tell somebody else this week. And that perhaps next week we would come back and we would share, I tried. Father, we know that we can't change a heart. We ask that you would go before us. We ask you, Father, that you would make the way plain, that you would drop somebody right in our pathway that we can't get around. Father, I think of Balaam's donkey who wouldn't move because the angel was right in the way. Lord, hem us up so that we can't move and we can't do anything but declare the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that He has saved us and that He can save them as well. Oh, Father, I pray this. And Father, I know that Thou art faithful, and I ask You this day that You would bring us back rejoicing, maybe even tonight, maybe on Wednesday as we go out caroling, or surely by next Lord's Day. And Lord, to hear of the attempts. Father, we know that You are the one that changes hearts. We cannot do that, but Father, give us the desire to go and tell. Even as those shepherds, even as those women, even as those apostles on that day of Pentecost desired to declare the glories of our risen Savior. For it's in Christ's name we pray it.